Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver-Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, we continue our exploration of happiness.
Our guest today is one of our favorite people, Dr. Charles Garfield, who's been on the program several times before, and this is part one of a two-part interview. He is the founder of Shanti, a widely acclaimed volunteer organization that focuses on increasing quality of life for people with life-threatening illnesses. He's an author and clinical professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California School of Medicine at San Francisco, as well as a visiting scholar at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. Welcome back to Chronologically Gifted, Charlie.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
It's our pleasure as well. The Shanti website states that Shanti is a Sanskrit word meaning inner peace or tranquility, and that the programs are focused on improving the well-being of people in difficult life situations. How does the program achieve that?
Well, if you remember the times in your life when you connected with somebody in a surprisingly wonderful way, even somebody you might not have known all that well, that it's that kind of connection that we're saying is trainable, that you can learn to do that, that it's not just some blessed accident that happens from time to time, although of course it can be that also, but that you can actually learn skills that make it more likely that you will connect with other human beings in just the right way, from the heart. Shanti has learned over the years how to get better and better at facilitating that kind of connection.
Charlie, we often get the message in our culture that happiness is our birthright. What do you think about this expectation that we should be happy in life?
What's the important observation, the pursuit of happiness? I don't think you pursue happiness. I think you pursue fulfillment and aliveness. And happiness comes as an offshoot of having achieved aliveness or fulfillment. I think people chase after happiness and think that it has something to do with acquisition, that it has to do with acquiring possessions or wealth or power. But in fact, it's much more likely that we will be happy if we fulfill our deepest needs, our needs that originate from the heart. I've spent a lot of time, as you know, with people at the end of life and people who are dealing with life-challenging situations and illnesses. And they talk, essentially, on reflection, about only two things: people they loved and who loved them, and the memories of that, and work they were proud of, work that made a difference, work that was contributory, that served some higher purpose. Not a single person, when they were really up against it, ever said that their greatest happiness came from a possession of any kind. And so, having heard those stories over the last more than four decades, I'd have to say that it's important for me to pay attention to those messages in my own life.
So where does happiness as a concept or a descriptor fit into people's lives, given that it gets a lot of attention, including, you know, what countries the people seem to be the most happy? Is happiness irrelevant?
No, it's not irrelevant. It's just an offshoot of a certain kind of life, that fulfillment, real fulfillment, and hence real happiness, comes from loving relationships and meaningful work. And for us to be committed, especially to both of those, will result in the kind of happiness we seek. The challenge is that from a societal point of view, we've been subject to a tsunami of public relations that suggests that real happiness comes from your next possession. I remember very clearly in one of the most amazing experiences, after 9/11, President Bush got up and said to people, "Everything's fine, go shopping," as if your happiness, your fulfillment, the quality of your everyday life will be affected positively if you go shopping. And my heart sunk. I mean, that's part of the public relations effort in the country that suggests that acquisitiveness, the desire for the next possession, is what brings happiness. And of course, it's like eating papier-mâché food. You can't be nourished by it.
Can you say a little bit about what the role of conscious gratitude might play in fostering a greater sense of human flourishing and well-being?
Well, absolutely. Of the three higher values that one sees in life, particularly when people are up against it, are gratitude, forgiveness, and love. We forget about all three often in terms of really getting in deeply to what they offer us. What gratitude offers us is the notion that there are things in our lives that bring us great joy that we take for granted, that we see marginally, if at all, and yet they're there every day. I can go out and I can walk in nature and be absolutely amazed by the beauty of it all. Or I can sit and talk to someone I love or a friend who I care about a great deal and be nourished by virtue of their presence. How often we don't think in those terms. We take it for granted. It seems like, oh, something that'll always be there until it's not. And then we realize, oh my God, what I had and what's not there now. Far better to express that gratitude and allow oneself to experience that gratitude, even for the small things. I remember some years ago I had a hip replaced, and for a long time before the operation and for a while during rehab, I couldn't walk really well. And I remember being so amazed by what I saw and experienced because I couldn't walk fast, because I couldn't move from one thing to another. I was able to see beauty much more clearly. I was able to see other people who were also struggling with one thing or another. If one slows down, and rather than see time as a function of clock time or calendar time, but see time in terms of depth of the moment, one sees an entirely different world that one can be tremendously grateful for. And yet, we go through our lives racing from one thing to another with to-do lists a mile long and never really experiencing the kind of gratitude that one might have if one slowed down.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday for part two of our interview with Charlie Garfield. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.